Did I turn on here? I think I did. I have two things I want to say about the hymn sing tonight first, before I get going here. First of all, there are refreshments afterwards, if people bring them. And secondly, if you want to do something as a special number or whatever, you are more than welcome to come prepared to do that. So, just a couple of things to think about in relation to the hymn sing. This is a kind of fortuitous organization of things this morning, because I'm getting started a little later than I usually do, which is good because I have a little bit shorter message than I usually have, which is largely because yesterday Barb and I drove up to Seattle to throw a surprise birthday party for my mom, who is 88. And aside from the fact that I was gone all day Saturday, which is not good for my message preparation, there's also something in spending time with family. Family relationships are complicated. And sometimes they are really good, and sometimes they are painful, and sometimes they're really hard. One of the things that struck me as I was looking at this part of Hebrews is that it talks about the family relationship that God is establishing with His people. And we see in a number of places here, we see terms that tie us to Jesus Christ in a family sense. And so we have in verse 11, He's not ashamed to call them brethren. In verse 12, I will declare your name to my brethren. I am here, and I am the children whom God has given me. And in verse 14, the children have partaken of flesh and blood. He himself likewise shared in the same. And in 17, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren. And so there's this connection that God is establishing between Jesus Christ and the people that he comes to save that is a family connection. Now, family connections, like I say, can be difficult. And one of the challenges that people occasionally throw up when we talk about God as the Father and the family picture that is made there is people talk about, well, you know, my dad really wasn't a very good example to me. You know, and so they resent that idea of God as Father. Yet God is the perfect example. You know, how would be the perfect Father? The ideal that would satisfy all of our expectations and everything that would be totally right in that relationship. Human relationships are troubled by the fact that we are human. That's unfortunately an inescapable truth. And the relationship that God establishes goes beyond the kind of thing that we have in a family relationship. Because of His nature, His faithfulness, He never disappoints, He never breaks the trust, He never fails us, He is always there, always able to be that adequate support for us that we want in the family. And the family relationship is won by His choice, by His intention. And it goes beyond, you know, if you think in terms of your family, you know, you can cut them off. You could not communicate with your family. You could refuse to have anything to do with them and separate yourself from them, all that. You cannot undo the genetic link that you have to them. That's a permanent tie. And you can't change that aspect. And this is the thing about the family tie. It cannot be eliminated. We can do it wrong. We can break it. We can mess it up, all that. But it is permanent and forever. And the relationship that God establishes with us is a permanent and forever family relationship. Now, Jesus in Matthew, he says in Matthew 12, that would be before that, you know, he's talking with some people and things, and some of his relatives come. And so in 1246, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak to him. Okay, there's family. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother or sister or mother. See, he establishes that those who follow him are tied to him in that kind of permanent, inseparable way. That they are the relationships that are at the heart of how he is connected to us. And that they don't ever go away. We can't ever be separated. I think again where Paul writes, I am persuaded that, and I can never remember the whole verse, but neither height nor depth or life or death or created things and all of that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, is we cannot be separated from God's love. It's that same thing. You cannot be separated from those relatives. There's a saying that we frequently misuse, and kind of goes to this. The saying is, blood is thicker than water. Now, we hear that saying, and people tend to read that as blood, our family relationship, means more than water, which is some kind of vague connection to other connections. But that's not really what the quote is. The quote is, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. That's the full quote. And that changes it around considerably. Because what it says is, the blood of the covenant, that's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross at Calvary for us. The blood of the covenant is something which is more binding, more permanent, more inescapable than the water of the womb, the relationship that we have to our human connection. We are more tightly related to Jesus Christ through his sacrifice on the cross than we are related to our parents and our siblings and our children. That's a bigger relationship. It's a stronger relationship. It matters more. I'm not saying ignore your family, because then we find ourselves down here where Jesus also took the Pharisees to task for the fact that they liked to say, you know, whatever was supposed to go to my parents, I'm going to give that to God, therefore I don't give it to you. So we do need to take care of our parents. That's another commandment. Honor your father and mother. But Jesus Christ, who became flesh, and in this becoming flesh thing, becoming a human being, he is putting on that relationship. The connection between us and kind of a God that we really can't touch, we can't see, we can't always identify with, but he comes down to our level and allows us to connect directly and intimately with him, because he is like us. Now we go right there to verse 10 in Hebrews 2 verse 10. It was fitting, it was appropriate for him, that is Jesus Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. That is, you know, bringing however many of us, his spiritual children, bringing us into that relationship with him, into the light of Christ, in doing that to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now that word captain that's translated here, you may have leader in your Bible, you may have author. There's several other ways that it's translated. The word, probably if you wanted a better literal word for it, would be pioneer. Because the word that's used here is the word that you would use to describe a person who went into a wilderness and founded a city. The one without whom it would not exist. And that's the idea, is making the one without whom our salvation would not exist. And he is made perfect through suffering. Now, the suffering is tied to humanity. The fact that he becomes human is what enables that suffering. And the perfection is in the idea of being complete, completely able to identify with us, completely able to understand us, completely able to be our family, to bring us into that family relationship and to have that connection with us as our Father, and that we are brought in, we are the brothers and sisters of Christ. We are his family because he is completely, perfectly made like us. And we'll get to the sufferings and things later on. But there is a connection that he makes here. Both he who sanctifies, of course that's Jesus Christ, the one who is going to make us fit for heaven, and those who are being sanctified, which of course is us, are all of one. We are all of God. We are part of the same group, the same family with Jesus Christ. And that's why he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. He's not ashamed to call us his family. Well, think about that a minute. Think about the fact that God is not ashamed to have us as his family. Now, some of us, if we look around in our families here on earth, we may have a few people that we may be a little bit ashamed of. We may be kind of wish they weren't in the family and that we didn't have to claim them. God is not ashamed to call us his brethren. His love for us comes through in this whole process of putting aside his divinity, his coming to earth as a man, his willing to endure that suffering so that he can be identified with us, that we can have that association, that he goes through a common suffering, and that in that suffering, in his death on the cross, he completely saves us and joins us, adopts us into his family. And he's not ashamed of us. As I was reading this earlier in the week, the word there, ashamed, just was the thing that stood out to me. That he is not ashamed of us. Not because we're so good, not because we do things right, not because we've got a handle on it. God is not ashamed of us because we are connected in Jesus Christ. Because of his blood shed on the cross, he's able to accept us in the family without being ashamed of us. We are so loved. We are so loved by our God, that no matter who, how we turn out, what we do, how we end up, His love for us means that those who are putting their faith in Him, those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, those are the ones who are adopted in as sons, the ones that Jesus calls His brothers and sisters and mother. These are the ones that He is not ashamed of. God is not ashamed of us. God loves us through it all. And I find that an incredibly encouraging thought, that God loves us and is not ashamed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we think about these things, as we think about Your love for us that was demonstrated on the cross, that You showed in willingness to leave heaven and come to earth and be made like us and go through things like us, Lord, we just are amazed at Your love. And Lord, I pray that every single person here has made the decision to put trust in You as Savior, and that they have allowed You to be the Savior and to be the captain of their salvation. And Lord, I pray that we would remember that we are in Your family, that we are in a relationship which is tighter and stronger and more inseparable than any human relationship possibly could be. And we thank You, Lord, for Your love that makes that possible. In Jesus' name, amen.